right. He had to go get his hat.
Get my hat on. I don't want this hat. I want my other hat.
Well, what other hat?
My other fucking hat. My other baseball hat.
Your other fucking hat.
I have my tactical hat. I gotta
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
You see what he does, like, last minute? As you can probably tell, it's Sunday, so he's been at the bar most of the day already. And we decided, even though... Now, last night was Saturday night. We didn't drink last night. We actually stayed in and watched a Ken Russell movie, which we're talking about today. I didn't have any drinks last night.
See, I want my Condor.
So we decided that we were just going to have one now. Well, you've already had a bunch, but yeah, this is my first one
today. This is my Condor. This one's more comfortable.
Yeah.
A comfortable hat.
Your comfortable hat. You got your comfortable hat and your cocksucking hat.
Yeah, that's it. This is formal. This bitch is formal.
That's very formal.
You never know. Some cocks might show up or something. You don't know.
They were just disembodied cocks.
Yeah, I don't know.
You never know. It might happen.
I'm just making this shit up.
DJ Maniac is very excited that we were talking about the Devils. I'm glad you told me that it was because I had just looked at Shudder like the day before you said that, and it wasn't on there, so they must have just added it that day. They actually, Shudder added like a fuck ton of like classics. They
this
added
is a good movie.
Serpent in the Rainbow, The Fog, Halloween 2, Halloween 3,
we're gonna be on
Session 9. Well, we've done most of them.
Yeah, we're going to be on them again, though, because some of them I want to see again.
But
I want to see Halloween 3 again.
Yes, they added Halloween 2 as well.
Yeah.
And so they added a whole bunch of like kind of like really classic movies, and The Devils is one of them. Now, you had never seen it before. No. I saw it a long time ago. Yeah. It was probably at least 20 years ago. I kind of remembered a little bit about it. Now, we'll get into, I kind of want to get into like the whole censorship issue, because if you've never seen The Devils, it came out in 1971, Ken Russell directed it, probably one of the most controversial films ever made. I mean, it's not as overtly, you know, something like Caligula or something like that, but it's in like the same kind of area.
I'd actually put this in with Excalibur.
You think?
Yeah. Imagine if Excalibur was going on and it's based in something that really happened, evidently, in France, and there's a bunch of nuns and a bunch of religious fucking persecution. Kind of like the religious wars of the 1600s, but it's Excalibur.
Yeah.
Not as operatic, you know what I mean? But it's like that. It's the same epic kind of storytelling. It's just that the setting's very different. Very different.
Yeah.
The main motif of this movie is how sexy Oliver Reed is. How women cannot resist this motherfucker. It's that mustache.
I think that might be what it is.
He's knocking them down of all ages and getting them pregnant.
He just keeps twirling it.
Well,
this might be.
All these nuns love this dude.
Everybody does.
Everybody.
He is getting so much tail in this movie, and he's a priest.
Yeah.
And he's like unapologetic. He's like, yeah, that shit happens, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and he fucking tries to talk his way out of it. And he's like, "You've impregnated my daughter," and he's like, "Well, oh well, oh well."
Shit happens.
Yeah, shit happens. And then he's all patriotic and nationalistic and even stands up to the fucking French king and protects the city while the other city's fortifications are getting torn down. And he's like, you know, don't give up your defenses. The king will take over and you'll lose all your freedoms. He's trying to be an emperor. So basically they're talking about states' rights. Because it was city-states back then.
And that was mostly Richelieu that was behind that, Cardinal Richelieu.
Yeah, it was a cardinal who was fucking talking shit to the
that
king.
That dude was kind of a fucker.
There's a lot of good scenes in this. It's a trip.
Because this is mostly based on a true story.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people know. It's exaggerated, obviously, for the film. But a lot of the shit did really happen.
Exorcisms, witch hunts, torture, crazy fucking medical stuff, the Black Plague. It's all in here. That's why I was going to say, to me, it's kind of like Excalibur, where it's like a tale that happened a long time ago back in the honky motherland that you should know, you should learn from it. That's what kind of movie it is.
Well,
it's crazy.
I compared it to Caligula in the sense that it stirred up the same controversy. Or you know, Sallow, you know, 120 Days of Sodom. It kind of like stirred up the same kind of controversy, even though I will say, the version that's on Shudder is not the entire uncut version. In fact, it is actually really, really difficult to see the entire uncut director's cut version because, I mean, the history of the censorship of this movie is, like, really, really complicated. Now, they did actually manage to show back in 2002 in London The British film critic Mark Kermode, he actually, who is you know, a big Ken Russell fan, and he's like a very passionate advocate of film and very passionately anti-censorship in film. So he was actually kind of found some of the cut scenes, the most controversial scenes, and they were able to like cobble the whole thing back together. And he had made a documentary about the movie called Hell on Earth, and they showed that in London. But for whatever reason, Warner Brothers, who owns this movie, have been reluctant to release an uncensored version. You know, it did release versions of it.
So this isn't the uncensored version that we
No,
saw.
No, like but it's not too hard to find the two scenes that are that were cut out entirely. There were little things that were trimmed, such as in the U.S. release. The U.K. release is actually a little bit longer because they didn't take out as much. The U.S. release, they were like, we don't want to see anybody's pubic hair. So any right. kind of, like, nudity and stuff, there was no you know, bush or anything. And they cut some of the scenes that where Grandier, Oliver Reed's character, was being tortured, like, toward the end, like, with the thing going through his tongue and him them, like, breaking his legs and stuff. Those were originally longer, but they cut those scenes out. Now, the two scenes that were cut out entirely... But as far as I could, I'm aware, because I've seen them, somebody uploaded them to Daily Motion, I think, so you can see them on there. They're not super long. There's one scene at the very end when they bring, after, spoiler alert, after Grandier is burned at the stake, and they bring his femur, like his partial femur, to Sister Jean in the you know, nun whatever thing. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? Convent. I couldn't remember.
Nunnery.
I couldn't remember that word for the life of me. When they bring her that, she kisses it and then starts masturbating with it.
Yeah, which so, she would.
Yeah, yeah. Which, yeah, that tracks. Yeah. So that was, like, toward the end. But the most controversial scene, 2.5 minutes long, you know the scene where they kind of have, like, all the nuns and they're run around naked and it's kind of like an orgy situation?
Yeah.
Okay, in the uncut version, that goes on a lot longer, and all the nuns actually pull down a big, huge... like statue of Christ, like on the cross, and start raping it.
Okay, yeah.
Essentially.
All right.
So that was deemed beyond the pale.
Right.
And so that whole 2.5 minute sequence was taken out. Like I said, you can still find it around. I saw the bone masturbation one on YouTube actually, but I think the other one is on Daily Motion. But so they're still in there. But I think that with all the stuff restored, I think this movie is supposed to be like 117 minutes. The one that's on Shudder, I think, is 109 minutes or 110 minutes. So it has like several things cut out. But it's still like really good and worth watching.
Now, Juan says that Excalibur is more epic. It is. Excalibur is actually a story that's mythological. So it has to be mythological and grandiose. This is historical. So it's a little bit more... realistic, but it also goes over the top too. The difference is that with this one, they're talking about real people, and they're talking about how human nature is, about how you can manipulate a mass of people and create mass hysteria for political gain, which they do this in here in order to fucking stop a nationalistic rebellion, because they basically show how an exorcist being pressured by the king and the king's, actually pressured by the king's men, can get a bunch of nuns to turn on somebody and claim that they're being possessed by them. But it also gives them license to act like total hoes, which they enjoy, because they've been locked up in a damn nunnery. They couldn't get married because they were too ugly. Nobody wanted them. So they would feel special, and they were getting it on with each other now. They weren't being punished for it.
Yeah, they could do whatever they wanted.
So... it's a similar kind of movie. It's about European history, the history of the European mind, and how really not a lot of shit has changed. Everything that they show in this movie still applies in the modern age. They do it all the time, just that it takes different forms now.
Well, I kind of feel like the twin themes of this movie being... you know, what horrible things can happen when all of the sexual repression is sort of the order of the day, and also the way faith can be perverted to get political gains, like and how outrage and hysteria and stuff can be fueled toward a particular end.
And how a leader like a king can be manipulated by his subordinates. Because the king himself was just kind of an idiot, really. And he was into all this kind of weird gender bending type stuff, but he was like multi-dimensional sexuality. He had all different kind, and he was supposed to be a bastion of kind of morality, but would show up in disguise to these weird fucking possession orgies and fucking call bullshit on it, but he didn't care. He thought it was funny. You know, it's honestly really good.
One of the best scenes. It's Louis the 13th, by the way, is who they came
Louis the 13th, yeah.
Yeah. At one point, like, he comes because obviously, like, the whole orgy situation has become very famous, like, throughout France. So he decides he's gonna, like, you know, get his retinue and he's gonna, say he's Duke someone or other.
Yeah.
And he shows up at the shit and he knows that it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
He plays a trick on them. It's like, oh, I brought the blood of Jesus Christ and it'll make all the demons go away.
Yeah.
And they hold it up to all the nuns and they're like, oh, we're cured. And then he's like, psych, there's nothing in there. And then he's just like, bye.
Bye, everybody. And you take him out.
And then they just keep on going with it. That was like, so it was like a hilarious scene, but it was also like kind of horrifying.
Yeah.
Because you knew that, like, the people in power absolutely knew that this was bullshit.
They knew it was all bullshit.
But they just let it continue anyway, even though those people's lives were at stake.
It was in their favor.
Yeah.
Because it was helping them take
over. Yeah, he didn't give a shit.
Topple the city states. They didn't care. It was in their favor. But it just goes to show that it's just, there's a lot of truisms in it. And then, like, the guy Oliver Reed is playing, I forgot his name, Monnier?
No, Grandier.
Grandier, yeah.
Urbain Grandier. Who was a real guy who was actually burned at the stake back in the 1630s.
He was a lecherous motherfucker, totally unscrupulous around these women. I mean, he was definitely using his power to get pussy. And he shouldn't have been doing that at all. And then when they got pregnant, he's like, oh, wait, bye-bye. It's on you. You take care of it. You know what I mean? But he wasn't totally bad. He did have good ideals, and he was standing up for his city estate. He was very patriotic. And they were trying to get him to confess to shit that he didn't do. And he's like, fuck you, I'm not confessing this shit. You're going to have to burn me alive. You're going to have to do all this shit. And I'm going to see my tears and shit. I'm still not giving in to you. So I you got to respect him for that.
He kind of died a hero. And actually, the real person did too.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it, well, that's what's so fascinating about Oliver Reed's character and the real guy, because, you know, it's based on a real guy, and a lot of the stuff that they show in the movie did actually happen.
Yeah.
Is that Oliver Reed's character, Grandier, he's not a good guy. Like you said, he's kind of abusing his power also.
Yeah.
He knows that everyone thinks he's the most attractive motherfucker on earth, and he is absolutely taking advantage of that.
And they cast that shit perfectly. They cast that Oliver fucking Reed. Hell yeah, that's the sexiest motherfucker ever to live.
He's pretty foxy in this movie, I gotta say.
Well, they didn't have access to Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds absolutely would not have worked in this. Burt Reynolds is one of those people that's, like, too modern. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know how we say, like, some actors, like, you can't really see them. Like, they're good actors, but if you put them in, like, a period piece, it's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like Burt Reynolds is one of those. Oliver Reed could absolutely play period pieces, like, all day long. He is outstanding in this. This is probably his best role.
He's just this... Okay, Oliver Reed would always kind of fucking... kind of reminded me, once I got a little bit older and was able to fucking realize what everybody looked like and shit... Oliver Reed was kind of like kind of a beefier version of Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden. If you look at the two, they look a lot alike. Bruce was a smaller, you know. But so, yeah, okay, I can understand it. He was this beefy fucking dude that did have some rock star appeal to him.
Yeah, there's something like...
There's something to Oliver Reed, like,
he has, like, this intensity.
Yeah.
I think it's his eyes, actually.
I can understand why women were attracted to him. He's not an ugly guy. He's just not what, in the United States, you would think of as sex symbol. You would think of a skinny dude or something, you know.
And he's not fat, but like you said, he's
just beefy.
He's
this beefy dude. And my first impression of him as a kid was that he was scary as fuck. I mean, just his voice would scare me.
He is kind of scary.
And that was like...
Very intense.
From Burn Offerings and movies like that, it's like, whoa.
He's got kind of like, he's got a little bit of lunatic going on behind the eyes there. You know
He always fucking gave me the impression as a kid is that he was just a couple drinks away from beating your ass.
Which was probably true.
Because they say that motherfucker drank like a fish and get arrested here. You're walking down the street naked here. I think it was fucking New York or San Francisco. I don't remember what it was.
I think he fucking did walked out
because he went, fuck it, I'm going. The cops didn't do anything to him.
It's Oliver Reed.
You know?
Shit happens sometimes. Well, in a way, it's like, it's funny that he's kind of no problem. I mean, it's not funny that he's probably like an alcoholic, you know what I mean? But I kind of feel like he's maybe more known for that than actually, because he was actually a fucking amazing actor. And as I said, I think this is probably my favorite role of his. I mean, just the impassioned speeches he gives, like that whole thing at the end, like before they're going to kill him, like when he's trying to defend himself at the trial and stuff like that, just fucking great. Just like the way he comes across, he like he's fantastic.
Now, I never saw the movie where he had the fucking naked wrestling scene with the other
women in love. That was the one that Ken Russell made before this one.
Before this one, okay.
Yeah,
that would probably scare me if I saw that shit as a kid.
That's a good movie, actually.
I'd probably be scared by that.
Oh, also, Women in Love, which was made before this, that had Glenda Jackson in it, and she was originally supposed to be in this, in the Vanessa Redgrave role of the hunchbacked nun. Mm. But they asked her to be in it, and she was like, nah, I've played enough kind of like sex starved neurotic women, no thanks. So she didn't want to do it, because I guess she'd played a few parts like that prior. And so they got Vanessa Redgrave, and Ken Russell said Vanessa Redgrave was like super awesome, and it's like she would just do anything. She just threw herself into this shit.
Yeah.
Because the role that she plays is very, very over the top, very outrageous.
Straw Dog says, this movie looks insane. I need to watch it. They're going, yeah, you need to see it. It's good. It's good. Real good.
It's based on, like I said, it's based on a real thing.
Yeah.
Ken Russell had made Women in Love with United Artists, and it was like pretty successful. So United Artists, this is crazy. United Artists says to him, hey, that Aldous Huxley novel, The Devils of Loudun, which is, you know, was a novel, a nonfiction novel about the actual event. And they're like, why don't you make a movie of that? There had been a play of it also by a guy named John Whiting about the same situation, the same event. So Ken Russell, like, read the book and he's like, holy shit, that's fantastic. I want to make this movie. So he writes a screenplay. And then he gives it to United Artists, and they said, absolutely not. We're not making that movie. Even though they were the ones that had suggested it in the first place. But then Warner Brothers said that they would do it. And Warner Brothers, they did it. They, put it out and everything. But they were still, like, pretty... Once it was made, they were like, yeah, you need to cut this out and that and the other thing. So that was, like, not that great either. But at least it fucking got made.
Yeah.
So let's talk about
Hold on one second. Let me say something.
What?
They're interested in the stories about organized religion. I'm gonna say only partially. It's more about history and the fucking government abuse. You have to understand that the Catholic Church was not a religion at this point in history. It was a government system. It was a parallel government. It only had a religious facade over it. Most of the people that were running it didn't believe in that shit at all. If you wanted power and money, you got into that system.
Well, it was a useful fiction.
A useful fucking fiction is what it was. And most people had the intelligence to know exactly what it was. It was more like a government. It was more like a federal government that was kind of lording over a bunch of monarchies. So it was kind of like Europe's federal government more than anything else. So it's not really so much about religion. Now, it turns out the Oliver Reed type character, there's a bunch of stuff's going on with the Protestants, the people that are protesting that fucking system, trying to bring it to a religion. You find out basically that this Oliver Reed guy, who is a Catholic priest, is also secretly kind of like a Protestant. He hasn't proclaimed himself a Protestant, but he does shit that a Protestant would do, like he gets married.
Yeah. And in real life, I don't think that they brought this up in the film, but in real life, not only did he write a treatise like arguing for, which they actually do bring up in the film, arguing for priests, should be allowed to get married.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be celibate. So he was like a big advocate of that. The real guy was.
Yeah, I agree.
I do too.
I totally agree.
But yeah, he was a big advocate of that. But, and I don't think they brought this up in the film, and maybe they should have, but he'd also written a satirical thing about Cardinal Richelieu.
Okay.
Which obviously didn't get him on anyone's good side.
Right, right.
So, you know what I mean? But yeah, I don't think they brought that up in the film, but the real life guy did actually do that. So,
allowing the priest to marry would have fucking solved a lot of problems in the Catholic system. You want guys in there who are normal, who can have a normal family life. You don't want celibates in there. It has ramifications. Now, that's why the Protestant churches that basically took over America are, that's why they're just so different than the Catholic Church. They're never, they never fucking really yearned for government power. They already had their own little powers, and they're a bunch of little cults, basically. But there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with little cults. Just be little religions. You don't want centralized. Decentralize that shit. Whenever anything becomes centralized, it becomes kind of crimified, scamified. Even more so. Too much power. Too much power behind one throne. Too dangerous.
Slasher Fred says there's an 80s horror movie called Gothic, which sort of tells how, which is also Ken Russell, tells how Mary Shelley was inspired to write Frankenstein. I think I reviewed that movie, actually, because I've seen that multiple times. They made another movie about that. It wasn't Ken Russell, obviously. I can't remember who made it, but it was called Haunted Summer. And it wasn't quite as good. I think Julian Sands was in it, I want to say. I can't remember who else was in it. Or was Julian Sands in Gothic? No, I can't remember. But they, how, yeah, there were two of them.
They're asking how they can see the uncut version. I don't know.
Okay, so the American version, as okay, and like I said, there's a billion different versions of this, so it's really hard. The version that's on Shudder in the U.S. right now, I think, is 109 minutes. Now, in the U.K., they just put out what they called, like a Blu-ray, what they called a director's cut, but I think that one's maybe only 112 minutes, and I don't think it has the Rape of Christ scene and the charred bone masturbation scene put back in. So what you might have to do is get the British version of the film and then somehow find the two scenes. Like I said, I think somebody uploaded them on Dailymotion and maybe like insert them back in yourself. Like I said, Mark Kermode since 2002 has been advocating for somebody, Criterion or whoever, to release an absolutely uncut version of the film. But so far there have been no takers. Nobody wants to put those two scenes back in there because they're apparently still too controversial, even in 2022, for Christ's sake.
Bunch of Latin names in there talking about how the Catholic Church is for too fucking fucked up and they don't follow the Bible, this and that. My first wife was a Catholic. And I gotta hand the Catholics, I gotta give credit where the credit is due. They have the best churches, the best motif, okay?
Yeah, that's just Gothic as fuck.
The best sound, the songs, the sound, the look of the inside, their style, all the fucking, the stained glass, just all the damn, especially in the Central and South American churches, just how beautiful the motif, the decorative motifs are. They got that, all right? But yeah, some of the things about the Catholic Church, man, they're just kind of ruin it. Let the priest marry. That will fucking, that would solve a lot of the church's problems.
Well, like I said, then you wouldn't get like all these sexually repressed weirdos.
You do not want weirdos in the damn church. You want real men in the church. And of course, you have real women in the church too. You don't want celibates. Not anymore. That's an old-timey thing and you want normal people in the church that can help normal people and understand normal people problems. And just that, changing those marriage laws in the church would fucking help the Catholic Church a lot. I think their numbers would grow.
Because I feel like, didn't they have for a long time, they had priests and stuff like that who were ostensibly celibate.
Yes, we were saying,
and they were giving like marital advice to their congregations. I'm like, how the fuck would you know?
They don't fucking know what they're talking about. Now somebody mentions in here that certain priests were able to marry up until the 12th century. They should have kept that kind of stuff.
I think they should.
You want normal people in the church that have families and have wives or husbands and let people marry. They can't help you if they're celibate. They don't know enough. The whole idea of, well, we're going to have to cloister these people to keep them clean so they don't know anything about the outside world, that's not what
you want. And then have them giving life advice to people. Yeah, I'm like,
no. That's not what you want.
That's not how that's going to work out.
No. That's the opposite.
Yeah.
That came from the Dark Ages when the outside world was fucked up.
Yeah.
You know?
Dom the Bomb says, Tom, in England, when we became Protestant, the monarch became the supreme head of the church, taking the place of the Pope. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Church of England.
Yeah.
Yeah, which that made total sense, though. That way England had its own church, so it had its own control over what was being said inside those damn churches. I would have done the same. Why let Rome do it? I totally understand why I would do that. America basically did that. Our Protestant churches basically were all local and localized with local people and local families doing it. The closest thing we had to a Catholic church here in the United States that was American would have been the Mormon church, the Church of Mormon, which they're kind of cool, if you ask me. I've studied what it is, and they have it. It's almost kind of like Now, the way that religion started, come on now, you know. It's a lot like the way Scientology started.
Hey, I found these gold plates in the woods, but, oh, you want to see them? No, right. I don't know where they are.
But
no one's allowed to look at them. You'll die or something.
But the Church of Latter-day Saints, in its Orthodox form, is a fine church. They got good music, good outfits. They have, you join us, our God will make you a God if you're good, and you can have your own universe. I mean, that's like leveling up.
I can have
up.
My own planet, woo!
Yeah, you have your own planet. Fucking, you know, so... It's a wild ass book.
They're weirdos.
It's a wild book. The Book of Mormon's fucking wild.
I know.
All right. They do rituals that are kind of like something you see on the back of the dollar bill. It's very, Gnostic. But religions are what they are. Everybody's holy scripture sounds ridiculous to other people who are reading other holy scriptures.
Or like me, too. They all sound ridiculous.
They all sound ridiculous to each other. They're all traditions, you know. So, I would say, that's all I want to say about it. Fucking, it's all a point of view, but man, at least let your fucking priest marry. It solves so many problems.
Juan says there was a good bootleg with the uncut film and the Hell on Earth documentary floating around. I got a copy. Ooh, I'd have to look for that because I wanted to see that. I watched like some Mark Kermode like interviews about it, and he wrote like a big long, like I said, he wrote a big long post where he was trying to get them to release the uncut version, like Criterion or Warner Brothers or whoever. But so far they haven't done that. So let's talk about what actually happens
in the movie, right?
After 30 minutes.
Yeah, after 30 minutes. Everybody's enjoying it.
We're talking about around the edges in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as I said, this is based on a true story. Some of the stuff obviously is exaggerated, but I went and read about the actual guy, mm-hmm. Grandier, and it's not really that exaggerated. So this takes place in, I think the year it's 1632, 1634, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So we have Louis XIII. He's in power. And Cardinal Richelieu, who is kind of like, you know, in his ear all the time, like trying to get more power, right? Now, at this time in France, there were these smaller cities that had fortifications. So they're kind of like the monarchy and the church, they're trying to get rid of that. They don't really like these little cities having their own little, you know, rules or little fiefdoms or whatever. And also they don't want like them hiding out like a bunch of Protestants. Like I said, this is the Catholics trying to root out the Protestants. So basically they've gone around and torn down all the fortifications, these other small towns, but the town of Loudun, they're basically like, well, I made a deal with the governor of that town, like to leave them alone. So we can't do anything to them. Now the governor dies of the plague though. So Oliver Reed is put in charge of the town, at least until there can be another election. So, but then, like, the king's guys or Cardinal Richelieu's guys, I think that's, like, a baron, the guy that comes, and he starts tearing the walls down, and Oliver Reed's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm in charge, and you can't do this, and I'm gonna fucking kill your ass if you keep doing it. And he's like, well, okay, but... So behind the scenes, they kind of start to think, well, maybe we need to, like, drum up some shit about this Grandier fellow so we can get him out of the way and tear these fucking walls down. Now, Grandier, I have to say, not super helping his case. He's not a bad guy, but even though he's a priest, like I said, he's a huge poon hound, and he abuses his power somewhat. But see, that was what I was saying before about how I think this is like a really good kind of treatise on abuse of power, because he's abusing his power in like little ways, but then like the power of the combined church and state comes down. It's like, let me show you some real abuse of power, motherfucker. And then he just gets swept up in it. And so you end up like sympathizing with him, even though, you know, he has flaws. But he gets put into this situation that he absolutely does not deserve. Because he didn't kill anybody or anything like that. He's just like a poon hound. He gets a girl pregnant who was like the daughter of a magistrate and, you know, abandons her.
Yeah, he admits to all this later.
Yeah, and he's not sneaky about it either. He's just kind of like,
yeah. He didn't hide it.
That's what I mean. Well, he believed, even though he was a Catholic priest, he believed that priests should marry, like I said, and that's just, like, the real guy. And he was not, I don't know, he just wasn't real, like, up on this whole, like, celibacy thing, and he wasn't, like, really afraid to talk about it. Now, a lot of the nuns in the town, a lot of the women in the town in general, just cannot get enough of Grandier.
They love this dude.
They are just like, everybody's like, they have all this stuff like talking about him. Like, ooh, here he comes. Ooh, you know what I mean?
The little nuns are peeking over the fucking thing to see him doing this parade. At him. They're diddling themselves while they're looking out the window and shit.
Here he comes.
Yeah, fucking, he's like a superstar.
Yeah.
And it's fucking kind of hilarious when you see it's Oliver Reed walking. He's like with his mustache.
Like I said, he's got that great. He looks good in this, I think.
They're fantasizing that he's Jesus walking across the water, coming at him in his robe and shit, fucking, and they're enacting all this fucking stuff out of the fucking New Testament and everything. It's just if you understand New Testament mythology, then you'll understand everything that's going on in the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Washing his feet with their hair, and that's how these nuns are fantasizing about how they're going to get it on with this father here.
Yeah, so it's not just, you know, the head of the mother superior, like, at the abbey or whatever. All the women are just totally all about it.
Yeah.
And he's, like I said, he's kind of like, yeah, that's right. You know, I'm the man.
Yeah.
So, what he does, so he secretly marries, he meets that woman that he marries, her name's Madeline, right? He meets her when he comes to her house, for her mom is dying of the plague. And he comes there and, like, gives her the last rites or whatever. And then apparently he falls in love with her. They secretly get married, which, like I said, is almost as sacrilegious as, like, all the fucking, you know, all the poon hounding he was doing.
Yeah.
Because a couple people in town, like, see it.
Marries himself in their church.
Yeah.
With her.
Yeah. They're just there by themselves. And he gives the rites and then he does it. So, which, like I said, doesn't seem all that controversial to us, but back then it was like a big fucking
deal. Martin Luther did that.
Yeah.
Was doing that later during the Protestant Reformation, that's what they did. During the French Revolution, they did that. The fucking peasant revolutionaries would grab priests and nuns and force them to marry each other, take that shit off, and then they'd kick them out of there and get the fuck back into the hood. Fucking, that's some funny shit. The fucking French revolutionaries would do that. They would force them to marry.
Yeah.
They were trying to get rid of the damn church. But yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hijack it. Been drinking.
Yeah.
That's a good part of the movie, though.
Yeah, well, this whole movie is good. This is an amazing fucking movie. Yeah. I love this movie.
Yeah. Everybody's asking how they're going to get it. Get it. You'll get it. Get it. It's good. It's like a history lesson, but it's kind of like Excalibur, but it's about the church, and it's fucking... talks about the perversity of not only just the church, but just people in general, how fucking corrupt they are. Fucking vying for power, killing innocent people, or making one sin seem as like it's huge when they're even worse. You know, the person.
That's exactly what happens. Because honestly, hypocrisy. They don't give a shit about Grandier. They just want him out of the way.
They just want that city,
so they can tear the fortifications down in the city and like root out all the Protestants. And it's just like kind of like they don't like him there because he's a thorn in their side.
Yeah,
and. Like I said, he's not helping his case because he's a little bit of a controversial figure beforehand. Yeah. But, you know, the little shit, piddly shit that he was doing is like nothing compared to like what gets done to him.
What they were doing.
But they were just trying to get him out of the way.
They were shooting Protestants fucking dressed up like fucking black crows and shit for fun.
Yeah, the king was, yeah.
The king was.
Yeah, because they captured a bunch of them at the beginning.
They were just shooting them in parties and shit.
Yeah, he's like, hey, dress up like a blackbird, and then he's like shooting them with a fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's nice. But yeah, so of all the women that are obsessed with this motherfucker, the most obsessed is the mother superior of the convent.
Yeah, she's this pretty hunchback.
Yeah,
she's gorgeous, but she's
Vanessa Redgrave. Yeah, she's hunchback. She has so she comes out like that, so her head's like always crooked, but she has like this real like her spine's all fucked up.
Yeah,
and Sister Jean, and she is a nutcase, big time. And she is totally her like making out with him and stuff.
Yeah, and she thinks she even knows him.
Yeah, even though he's never laid eyes on her before. I think my shit disconnected. Hold on. Oh, it disconnected. Huh, that hasn't happened in a while.
Okay, it's back. That was weird. Somehow it disconnected.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that wasn't our cable.
That's odd.
Let me see what's going on.
Yeah, what's going on? I'm losing my shit. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's doing that. I don't know if you guys can hear me, but it's going a little bit pear-shaped, and I don't know why, because we have our Ethernet cable hooked up. Maybe our connection is... Oh, well, maybe it's back. Okay. Tom went down to see what the deal was with the router. But it looks like it's back now, so... Anyway. All right, so where was I? So, yeah, so she's had all these elaborate fantasies about him, including, like, the whole Jesus fantasy, him coming down off the cross, them making out, her washing his feet with her hair, blah, blah, blah. God doesn't want us talking about this movie. Maybe that's what it is. I kind of did think something along those lines for a second.
Somebody, I haven't seen anything. That must
have been... It came back on. We just kind of lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the service, because we're, you know, it's not Wi-Fi. We're attached. Yeah. High Desert 004 says God doesn't want us talking about this movie.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Making fun of him too much.
But yeah, so like I said, she's Looney Tunes. So when she finds out that he has married, she loses her shit. Yeah, well, because now prior to that, she had written because they lost their confessor. And she was like, oh, I have an idea. She wrote a letter and she was like, I think that Grandier should be our confessor so he could be, like, at the convent all the time and she could, like, make a move on him or whatever. But he is not able to do it, so they send this other guy who looks like Spock and yeah. Mignon.
Yeah.
And cause I remember because I said,
like
filet. Oh, like Filet Mignon. that's his nickname, Filet Mignon. But yeah, so they send him instead, and she's like super pissed off.
Yeah, and this hunchback, she's in charge of like 30 nuns, young nuns.
Yeah, she's the mother superior. Yeah. She's like the abbess or whatever they call it.
And they
it.
Do weird shit, man. They fucking dress up as men and women. They dress up, they'll take a girl and dress her up like fucking, like what's his name? Not Mignon. Now you got me, Grandier, right? Is that his name, Grandier?
Well, now you, no, Grandier.
Grandier. They'll dress a girl up like Grandier, and then they'll pretend to, like they're getting married and jumping in the damn bed together, and they're like, woo, and the fucking mother's going, you stop it. And fucking, it's well, funny shit.
Well, know? Like I said, what else have they got to do?
Yeah,
they're
all
nuns.
They do is they talk about, yeah, they talk about having sex with him and shit.
And they spy on each other, jerking it.
Each other, jerking it over him and shit. It's fucking some weird shit, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So at this point, like I said, so she starts losing her fucking mind. Mignon starts questioning her about it, and he decides, hey, maybe if we kind of like hype this up a little bit, he doesn't say this outright, but this is kind of how it plays out.
Yeah.
Maybe if we hype this up a little bit, we can say that Grandier is like possessing her in the sense that like, you know, the witch trials
where a witch
could like possess somebody from afar. Like he's in league with Satan and he's possessing her and giving her all these visions. And then it extends to, oh, he must be possessing all the women, like all the nuns. And actually how they do that is they essentially threaten to kill all the nuns. They take them out in the woods and, like, tie them all in a thing, and they're basically, like, aiming all their fucking arrows and shit at them. And they're basically like, well, hey, why don't you just say that Grandier possessed all you guys? And they're just like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So then they can just go back to the convent, and that gives them license to do whatever the fuck they want. So now they're running around the fucking convent, buck naked, and, like, doing all kind of crazy shit.
They're doing each other. They're fucking having all kinds of weird shit.
Right.
Well, you gotta understand. It's understandable. When what they said in the early on is because some chick, you find out who she is, she tries to join the convent.
Well, that's the guy. That's the girl that he ends up. Yeah. That's Madeline. That's the one that he ends up marrying.
Yeah, the mother superior is like, and she's like, why do you think they're in here? And he goes, well, because they want to serve God. And she's like, she just laughed.
Fuck that.
No, they're in here because nobody would want them for marriage. They were too ugly, or there was something wrong with them.
Or
the family didn't have enough money to put up a sizable dowry, and nobody married them. So basically, these girls are in prison.
It's all the girl seconds and irregulars.
Yeah. So the convent is a prison. It's a prison for women that couldn't be married off.
And that's very true to life.
Yeah, and it's life. Some of them girls are old that are in there. 60s and 70s, they're still in there. So it's not a happy existence. So they just try
to... Yeah, a lot of them didn't choose it.
No. So they're just trying to get through. You know, and when the whole possession thing comes in, they were being encouraged to misbehave, so they just went buck wild. They were fucking having lesbian orgies and fucking putting their titties in dudes' faces, putting it in the king's face, and the king's like, oh yeah, he's loving it. So they just became hoes for God.
I mean, basically. They're possessed, so they can do whatever they want.
They weren't being punished because that was the deal they were trying to.
Because
they weren't
at fault. Sure,
it wasn't their fault. So this.
Well, because they bring in a witch hunter.
Yeah.
Father
right.
Barre.
Right.
And he kind of whips everybody up into a frenzy.
Right.
And then they do. Well, they do that one scene where, and I think this was slightly cut out.
What's his name, Father? What?
Barre.
Barre. Now Barre is kind of like the Ray Manzarek. Fucking of
he does look very much
yeah,
like
yeah. The keyboard player from the Doors.
From the Doors.
He's got
yeah.
the little glasses.
He looks
and shit.
Pretty much exactly
and,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he does kind of have a rock star appeal. So they're trying to please him, and he's a psycho too. He's you know he's a good looking guy, but he's a fucking psycho. And they're putting down things up girls.
I was gonna say they're like giving people enemas
with fucking big old thing, trying to get evil spirits
with, like, salty boiling
yeah,
water,
yeah,
whatever the fuck
what
they were putting up in
and
there.
Trying to see what comes out and analyze it scientifically. Oh, yeah, you know, this is semen here. Fucking the devil's been in here. That kind of shit. Fucking weird shit.
It's,
you know?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But that's true to life.
But that's
what they were doing.
Shit that they would do.
Yeah.
They're like looking in their enema thing and like the stuff that was like they were vomiting and everything.
Yeah.
And they're like poking through there saying, hey, that looks like some satanic shit.
Even though
shit
the, higher's up, the higher ups didn't believe it. They're just like, yeah, whatever. It was just to keep the people happy so they could get this fucking job done. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it was all bullshit.
So, essentially, I mean, throughout most of this, when all the nun-orgy shit is going on and the enemas and whatnot.
Yeah, and that was becoming a nightclub, basically. The king was showing up to see it, and people were partying in all this fucking chaos.
Yeah, because everyone just thought it was hilarious and, like, a good time.
Yeah, and all the rich people were showing up in mass to watch it. And be a part of it.
They're, yeah, you know, being like, woo, yeah, right.
Did you see her? You know, they're laughing at the torture and shit. Fucking.
Well, yeah, like I said, they're essentially like the, you know, the Mother Superior, you know, Sister Jean, she's obviously, you know, not really a sympathetic character, but, because she's Looney Tunes and it's kind of her response, you know, she's the one that kind of caused
shit.
It. Yeah. But, I mean, she didn't deserve what they did to her. I mean, they were torturing her and for everyone's amusement, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was that. Everybody just came and like looked at it. And ironically, like while all this shit was going on, Grandier and his wife like weren't even in town. He had gone to like talk to the king, right? And he was like on his way back because it was like, you know, a long journey or whatever. So he was on his way back and he came back and like walks into the fucking convent or whatever. And he's just like, what the fuck is going on in here? It's like everybody, there's like hundreds of people and everybody's running around like lunatics all naked and shit. And, you know, so then everybody, like, kind of is like, you've possessed all these. He's just like, what the fuck are you even talking about? I wasn't even here. I didn't do this. He's like, I never even met this fucking chick.
Yeah.
You know, the Mother Superior. But obviously, like I said, the powers that be wanted him out of the way. So they decide, well, they're going to go ahead with this big fucking show trial, even though most of them knew it was. Although, like, some of the people seemed like true believers, like the witch hunter guy, like Barre, he seemed to really believe
that.
He was
crazy,
shit.
Though.
Yeah, he was a nutcase.
He was crazy.
But most of, you know, the king didn't really believe it. Richelieu didn't really believe it. They just wanted him out of the way, and it was convenient.
Yeah.
That this had come up, and they're just like, we're going to, like, pump up the outrage and, you know, the blasphemy around this shit, and we're going
to
blame him for everything.
They knew how to use the system against their enemies.
Sure.
That's all it was.
Yeah. So just like in real life, well, he gets tortured. You know, they put the thing, like, through his tongue, and, like, they put him in that, but they called that the extraordinary question, right? Where they put your legs in the stock things, and then they just like beat this, like broke them and shit. And they shaved him, so it would be like humiliating. Like they shaved off his mustache and his hair, so he was like completely bald. I think they shaved off his eyebrows too.
High Desert 04 says every actor in this movie gave 120%.
They totally did.
They chew up the fucking scenery in this shit.
I mean, like I said, you got it because this is a pretty outrageous movie. Like I said, it's exaggerated, but reading the accounts of what really happened, it's not really that exaggerated. But I mean, it's Ken Russell, so it's going to be exaggerated because that was kind of his thing. But you know, the commitment of the actors is just really, I don't know, I just love how committed everybody was to their fucking role in this. They just gave their all, and that's amazing. Like I said, I think this might be my favorite performance of Oliver Reed's. He's just so, like I said, even though he starts out as kind of like a sleazebag, you know, as the story goes on and more forces are like marshaled against him and like this horrible shit, like he starts getting tortured and all this other stuff later on, and he just refuses to give in because he absolutely knows why he's being targeted like this, and he just will not give them the satisfaction of confessing to possessing because he thinks it's bullshit.
Yeah, that's one of the angles of the movie. You got a flawed character who is not holy, really, by any even he is not holy even by Protestant standards, okay? But he doesn't fucking ever renounce his faith. He never gives up his faith in God during all that shit. And he never fucking confesses to the bullshit, which he's a man to be admired for that.
Yeah, like I said, he ends up a hero. He starts out as like kind of a little bit of a sleaze. Like he's a lovable sleaze, but still kind of a sleaze.
He's a sleaze bag.
But at the end of the movie,
he's a man of principle.
He's like a fucking he's almost like a fuck. He's a martyr.
Yeah.
To his faith, because he absolutely would not. And even when they were burning him alive, because even the executioner like says to him, "I'll strangle you first."
Yeah.
And it turns out that Barre, the witch hunter, he's like, "Fuck that!" And he just like started the fire before the executioner could get in there to strangle him.
The executioners were trying to give him an easy out. If you confessed, they would strangle you first and then kill you.
And then burn you alive.
Burn you dead.
Burn you dead.
They're not alive. But the executioner was there. It's like, look, I'm going to strangle you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because some people still thought he was innocent.
According to the people in the damn courts, there was a fucking couple of, revolts that happened even in court. Most people knew it was bullshit.
Well, even Mignon at the end, when he was looking at him across the flames, he realized that the dude was probably innocent, and he was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then he got sent to a, like they said afterward, he got sent to, like, an asylum or whatever for saying that he was innocent.
Right.
So they were just, everybody that said he was innocent, they locked him up. It's like, oh, you must be crazy. But you could see it in his face. He's like, oh, my God, we're burning
an innocent man,
and he felt bad about it and came out about it later. But, yeah, so even while he was burning to death, he was, like, telling everybody, you guys are all fucked. The whole reason that they're doing this was so they could tear the walls down.
And take your city.
And take your city. And now they're going to do it.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
Like, they came and knocked all the fucking walls down.
Yep.
And he's like, and so he was trying to tell them, like, at the end, and that's what happened. And, like I said, and then the final scene, which is in some versions is cut out, they actually bring the part of the femur bone, which, you know, not too inconveniently looks like a dildo, part of the femur bone, which is all charred and burned, and they bring it back to the Mother Superior, and she masturbates with it. So that's nice.
Well, she had a thing for the dude.
Yeah.
She caused his fucking death.
Yeah. I mean, she was crazy.
Yeah.
And she, like I said, she had never met him. She was just like...
talking about him.
She was like a stalker from afar.
Yeah.
And
they just used her to fucking get him.
Yeah, exactly. So she was like she ended up being a tool of them without even really realizing it. So she kind of got abused too, even though she was a horrible person. But, she probably had some mental illness that they exploited.
I thought it was a great movie about patriotism, fucking religion, the evils of religion, but also the strengths of religion. He never gave up his faith in what he believed. He didn't believe in these rule-based bullshit, though. He was just—he said, "This is shit from the heart. I married myself with that woman because I loved her from my heart."
Yeah,
he says, I don't need you all to fucking tell me.
And he's like, "I don't see why that should be a problem."
He knew it was a fucked up system. Yeah, he was a shitbag. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
So that's another lesson it tells you in the movie. If you're waiting, if you're looking for somebody to look up to and respect, but they have to be perfect in every way, that ain't gonna happen.
Nobody's perfect like that. In every way. No. Everyone is flawed.
Nope. Now, that goes back to these fucking crazy-ass religions where every character in the fucking book who's supposed to be a good person is fucking totally perfect in every way. You know it's a mythology if it's like that. It's just that people aren't like that. He was a mixed bag.
But yeah,
he had principle. They were bashing his legs in with a fucking hammer, and doing. And he would not confess.
He would absolutely not
confess to possessing.
They were
women.
Burning him alive.
Yeah,
and he would not.
They wanted him to confess to possessing those women.
He would
and
not.
He didn't possess those women.
Nope. And he just would not. Nope. And that happened in real life too.
Yeah,
that's what he did in real life. He would not give them the satisfaction.
Yeah, and they were like, "Look, if you confess, we'll strangle you right now, and it'll be over with."
He's like, "Nope."
Like, fuck you. You're going to have to set my ass on fire. All right? I didn't do that shit.
I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine being that much of a badass?
Right.
Like I said. So he's a great character.
Right. And he was saying, this is because of God. I love God. Because y'all aren't with God.
Yeah, I mean, so, basically, you know, he says right in the show trial.
Yeah, yeah.
He's basically like saying this whole shit. This is what's sacrilegious right here. You guys are like perverting the actual teachings of the church.
Right.
So he wasn't like, oh, the beliefs are bullshit. He said, what you guys are doing is bullshit.
What you guys are doing is bullshit.
And he's like, and you're just doing this to me so you can get
the city.
So you can get the city. So you're fucking all of these people.
Right. And people in the audience agreed and tried to revolt, but the soldiers held them back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they tried. They go, okay, let's go. They moved on to the next. They tried to get it moving forward as quickly as they could to get his ass killed. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to stand my ground. This movie is an awesome fucking epic flick like Excalibur, but it's a different historical time period. It's got a different lesson to be learned. Be right up there with my crazy ass fucking Zardoz, which is from the dude who fucking directed fucking Excalibur. Zardoz is about the future. The present and the future, basically. Elites taking over the world and depopulation and all that shit. And those three movies right there, man, fucking recently they've been good, real good. They made some cool movies back in the past. A lot of them kind of forgotten. This is one that needs to be seen again. It's a trip.
It's crazy because I was watching a review of this. And this movie, like I said, came out in 1971. And some of the people in the comments, who I guess were younger... Oh, we're skipping again. Why is this happening?
I don't know.
We hadn't had this happen in a long time.
It's back. It's got to be the service having a problem.
Well, yeah, that's what I was telling you before.
Yeah.
But what was now I forgot what I was saying because I got fucking distracted.
Oh, sorry. What young kids were saying when they saw.
Oh, and so like some people who were younger that hadn't seen it at the time thought that the movie was more recent. They're like, oh my god, I can't believe that was made in 1971, just because the cinematography and shit like that is so beautiful.
I wanted
to bring up too that even though a lot is obviously this takes place in the 1630s in France, and some of it was filmed at like castles and whatnot, but the set that they built. Ken Russell wanted it to look modernistic.
It kind of does. Yeah.
So he wanted everything to be white.
Yeah.
And he wanted everything to be really angular. He said, I want it to look kind of like Metropolis, the Fritz Lang movie.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
And a prison.
The production designer on this was Derek Jarman, who actually went on to quite, you know, great acclaim later on as a director in his own right. Derek Jarman's Blue, probably his most famous. He also did a very, you know, big acclaimed version of Shakespeare's The Tempest. He made a bunch of films. Big queer activist. He died of AIDS, I believe. And he also worked a lot with punk and post-punk bands, doing a lot of their videos and music production and stuff like that. He worked with Sex Pistols, Throbbing Gristle, The Smiths. He did, like, a shit ton of stuff back in the day. And, you know, and was quite well-known in, like, in sort of alternative or underground circles. But, so he was the one that did the set design on this.
Sets look good. They look kind of like prisons. Very, white tile bars.
Yeah.
Very institutional. Red crosses on things. Very, real totalitarian, real kind of clean looking. The nun outfits look awesome. They're kind of like gothic.
The costume design of this is impeccable.
Kind of gothic nun fetish looking stuff. There's sexual elements with some of the stuff that they do. Although it's not so much that it takes you out of it. And then, like, a lot of the guys, a lot of the nobles have some fucking 1600s gothed out outfits, black and white and shit, you know, with big old spurs and guns.
Well,
the soldiers have guns and fucking iron helmets, and it's cool. It looks good.
From what I get determined, the costume design in this, it looks very over the top, but it's not really that far off what people really wore back then.
Yeah.
This was the Baroque period. Yeah. So what, for example, like Louis XIII, the king, was wearing... That was pretty similar to probably what he would have worn.
Starts off with the king cross-dressing in the play.
Yeah.
He's dressed up as Venus.
Yeah, it's like the birth of Venus with the big clamshell and everything.
Yeah, doing the shit. And the cardinal's watching it.
And he's like,
it's a trip. The king was, Louis XIII was looking, fucking, he was pansexual.
Yeah, big time.
He's pansexual.
But I gotta say, I do love that scene where he comes in disguise, like on his litter with all of his, you know,
all of his
posse.
Yeah, he came with an entourage, a whole posse.
With the blood of Jesus, thing, going like, I brought something that'll get rid of all the demons. And everybody's like, oh, we're curing. That he's like,
right. And up to this point, every time they've shown the king, he seems to be an idiot. But then in that scene, you find out, no, he's not an idiot. He's trolling the fuck out of all you idiots. He doesn't give a shit. It's just, he doesn't give a shit. It's just hedonistic pleasure and having fun and killing Protestants. He don't care. He doesn't even care they're Protestants. He'd have probably killed anybody.
He's the king. You can do whatever you want.
He's the king, and he knows he's fucking in charge of this insane world, and he's just going to fuck all these chicks and do all this fucking pansexual shit until he dies. That he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
That's all it is. He's not dumb. He lets you know.
Absolutely not.
That whole thing there, you find out, oh, you're trolling. He goes, yeah, I'm trolling. Okay, see, you gotta go.
Yeah. He even says, have fun.
Have fun.
Bye. And then they take him away.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit. King knew all along. He's funny.
He knew those bitches were possessed.
He understood all this, yeah.
Like I said, he just didn't care.
He just didn't care.
He didn't care that people would get killed.
No.
That Grandier would get killed, or that the people in the city might get hurt, or that their city was going to be, like, the fortifications taken down.
I guess he didn't want to put himself at risk.
Yeah.
So he just let it ride.
Yeah.
Just went along.
He's going to let Richelieu do some...
Let it ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
As long as he's partying, he's happy. Just let them do what they want. That's what it seemed
like. Yeah, it seemed more like he's just kind of like, yeah, the little people will take care of
that. Yeah, you guys take care of
it. I just want to have a good time and party over here with all my money.
Yeah.
So, you know. Anyway. Juan says, I don't think that king liked chicks. Probably not.
He had women with him.
Yeah.
He had women with him.
I think he was just kind of...
He was everything.
Yeah.
He was everything at once.
He was into whatever.
He was whatever, yeah.
All right. But, we went on for more than an hour.
Okay, yeah, good.
About this movie.
The movie's worth it.
But like I said, this is a classic. I mean, if you haven't seen it, especially if you're into, like, really quote-unquote controversial stuff from the 1970s, like, 120 Days of Sodom or Caligula or something like that, this is something that's kind of along those lines. Try to find an uncut version. Like Juan said, it'd probably have to be a bootleg. There is a version on Shudder, which is really nice. It's all restored and stuff, but I'm pretty sure... because obviously the quote-unquote rape of Christ scene is not in there, and the bone masturbation scene is not in there, and I don't recall seeing any pubic hair, so I'm thinking this is probably, like, the shorter U.S. cut. Some of the stuff has been restored in the U.K. cut, but I think that the completely uncut version you can only get in a bootleg.
Yeah.
So... I would definitely try to seek that out if you could find, like, a decent...
It's free. Watch it. Even the American version we saw.
It's still worth watching. Watch it and then see if you can find, like, the scenes that were cut out. They're pretty easy to find.
Yeah,
they're around.
It's not going to make a big difference.
Juan points out he told those boys that women are disgusting. That's right, he did, didn't he?
Okay.
Yeah, because remember he had that little boy on the litter with him, and he's just like, some men like these women, but they're so, like...
Okay.
They're the ones that give birth to men, and that's so gross.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
He had a queen next to him, but I guess maybe she was just window dressing, I guess.
See, I thought... Well, he had a little boy on the litter, like a kid.
Now, talking about the girl in the red dress. Oh, that was the kid? Was that a boy?
Now I can't remember. Now you're confusing me.
She had a hat on the litter next to him.
I don't remember.
Okay. I thought it was the queen.
Juan says there's a lot of pubes in the uncut version.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I've seen stills and, like, I've seen some of the scenes that were cut out, but I think the version that's on Shudder doesn't have any of that. There's a lot of nudity, but they don't really linger on a lot of. And I think they took out... There's one scene where they're doing, like, the witch hunter and them are doing the enema, where they make it a lot more clear that this is going up her butt. Where I think in the Shudder version, it was just kind of, like, implied. Like, obviously, it's an enema thing, and, like, you know where that's going. And they kind of imply it, but I think it's more obvious, like, in the uncut version, that that's where they're sticking it. But, yeah. So, all right. So, we've been going on more than an hour. Go watch this movie. It's really good. Like I said, it's a classic. Especially if you're into Ken Russell. It's fucking crazy. And it's... pretty much, I think it's probably his best movie. I don't know. That's hard to say, because he's made a lot of really awesome ones. But, so I think tonight, didn't Tila recommend that we do Mommy Dearest?
I think so. We can watch it.
I think we should do Mommy Dearest. Okay. So we'll talk, because she said about that, like, on the show the other day.
Right.
And I noticed that Mommy Dearest is free on Pluto. And I actually love that movie. So we're going to watch that tonight, and we will talk about that tomorrow afternoon. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by, and we will see you guys tomorrow.